In my 81 years of life, I can barely recall a time when there was peace and tranquility in the life of the world. I don't know, Al, you can probably attest to this too. Hardly a time. Wars, violence, corruption, and the struggles for social justice have dominated the news headlines. Of course, today this has become very evident to the point that many don't even want to hear, read, or see the news from whatever source it may come. Like the ostrich trying to hide by sticking its head in a hole in the ground, many today try to hide from all of the negative happenings through trying to avoid any contact with the news. Tragically, a very real part of the news is natural disasters, which are taking place seemingly every day. Right now, in the south and central states of the nation, they are being inundated by violent storms and tornadoes and floods. The people who are suffering from the results of the disastrous weather cannot avoid the bad news, for they are caught up in it. The bad news is affecting their lives in a very real way. All too many are reminded of nature's fury, and especially the fact that water is not only the very essence for the sustainability of life, but also has the power to destroy life. It is said that in hurricanes and violent storms, the real danger is water, the excess of water. But it's not until there is a lack of water or the overabundance of it that it ever makes the news and is ever thought about. It is taken for granted as being a normal part of our lives. Regardless if it makes the news or not, or if we avoid what is going on, or if we are the brunt of its extremes, we live daily in the reality of the results of water in our lives. It may take a natural disaster or a man-made disaster like Flint, Michigan, to realize this. But from the ancient people on, water has been the symbol of life, and in many cases considered to be sacred. To many throughout history, the powerful and ever-flowing streams and rivers have been considered to be sacred and contain the spirits of various gods. Such importance was given to water since it not only could sustain life, but also take life away. Therefore, it was considered to have the power over life and death. The importance and even sacredness of water to the ancient people can be seen in the creation story. One must note that it was not created in any of the 6 days of creation. It was not. But was at the very beginning along with God. Before the 6 days. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. Darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Prior to any of creation. For the ancient Hebrews, all creation began with water and God. It is then easily understand that one of the profound powers of water to the ancient was that it had significant healing power. This was the case with John's story of the sick man at Bethesda pool. This pool seemed to bubble at times, disturbing the water surface. It was thought that this disturbance was caused by God's angels in the water. That's what they believed. And of course, this was erroneous, but the people flocked to the pool in order to enter it during the times that the pool was bubbling. To do so was thought to bring healing. We still think that water, especially springs, have healing power. One only has to see how many people travel to Lourdes in France for healing of the springs of the Lourdes. Now, John tells us a man who had been ill for some 38 years, which was probably most of his life. The illness had left him weak and incapable of normal activity and movement. Now, he had stationed himself near the pool, waiting for that thought to be sacred time when the water bubbled up and was disturbed. Sadly, with his limited physical condition, he was always too late. Too late or pushed aside. And he could not enter the water while it was bubbling. And he longed to have someone give him assistance in order to enter the bubbling pool, but no one seemed to have the time to do so. They were to be first. What about this lonely man? Tough luck. He was ignored. It must have been extremely frustrating and agonizing to be so close to what he thought was his ticket out of his lifelong circumstance. So close. He couldn't get in. His struggles and pleas for help were all futile. No one would help him. He must have thought about just giving up. It was all hopeless. After all, he had lived with this illness for 38 years. And he had been able to at least exist. Somehow, he had gotten by. He had gotten by in life, perhaps with the help of some family and others. You know, why not just keep on like he was, where there was some measure of comfort in it? He was still living. You know, many would choose to go that route, since there is the element of being given sympathy and perhaps some attention along the way of 38 years because of his illness. The pity party. But to this man's credit, Even after all those years of illness, he never gave up hope. He didn't give up his desire to be healed and to live a normal life. Then Jesus came along and tested this poor creature's will and desire. Do you want to be made well? Stupid question. But this was his chance. His chance to express not only his frustration, but his desire to be made well. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone steps down ahead of me. Boy, the frustration just poured out of him. And then Jesus, of all things, Jesus didn't assist the man into the pool. What's the matter with this Jesus? But you know, he was not about to substantiate the notion that an angel of God was in the bubbling water, nor was there any kind of godly spirits dwelling therein. Jesus did not come to spread or give credence to ill-founded notions which gave false hope. Now, that was what Jesus was about. So he simply healed the man by saying, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." Well, the interesting question is, did Jesus have such a commanding presence so as to have this long-suffering man just try to follow his command? Or did the man have such a deep desire and hope and belief that he would be healed and therefore follow Jesus' command? Or maybe it was just a mix of both. Can you imagine, after being incapacitated for so many years, what this man was thinking as he began to try to stand up? Just think about that. Both doubt and hope must have been playing mind games within him. But hope, belief, and desire won out because Jesus commanded it. It didn't take the bubbling of a pool, but a simple commandment by Jesus and the undying faith of a desperate man to bring a 38-year ordeal to the end. You know, healing comes through faith, which sees beyond the negative circumstances in life to the positives, which are always there. There are always positives. Such a faith is often activated by someone whose love shows us that they care. That's where it all begins. Such a person helps us find a new life and the joys that we already have. They are the people who continually give encouragement, understanding, and hope, even when despairing circumstances seem so overwhelming. They are the ones to instill a new sense of worth in life, even with the reality of our seeming limitations. They are the ones to find joy even in sorrow, to bring light even in darkness, They are the ones to give the assurance of a hug or the warmth of a smile. They are the ones who bring healing. There's no mystery about what they do, nor is there any superstitious ritual involved in order to bring about healing to the sick, downtrodden, or those in despair. This is God's love at work. This is the Holy Spirit working through us. The power of Jesus' words come alive through living in God's presence. Thereby we can say, stand up, take your mat and walk. In this power, if this power which the broken and disastrous world filled with world needs, it is this power that it needs. People need to know that they do not stand alone in facing the real problems in life. They need to understand that, like water, they can either support life or help to destroy it. There is little doubt in my mind that Jesus was sent to us so that we may be empowered to bring love to a world which always seems to be embroiled in hate and injustice. God's presence is alive within us, each one of us, so that we may find the courage to witness to the world around us with the love which he has shown us through Jesus. That's what we're all about. We need to continually have the faith and the commitment to face reality and to heed his words. Stand up. Stand up. Take your mat and walk. Stand up, take your mat, and love. That is the command. That's why I chose today's gospel lesson. Amen.